Again, good to see everyone out tonight. I want to thank all the men who sung a song tonight, especially considering the fact that I didn't prepare for a long sermon. So that helps. But the scripture reading that we read earlier in Psalm chapter 91, if you open your Bibles back up to that.
Ooh. I don't know what happened there.
Back in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6 again, where it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." Think back, if you would, to when you were a child, to when you were a young kid. This may be more of a struggle for others than some, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. But think back to when you were a child. Who was it that you would run to? Who was it that you felt safe with? Where did you feel the safest? I'd venture to say it was probably at home with your parents. When you woke up in the middle of the night and had a bad dream, or that thunder was cracking right outside your window, where'd you go? Pretty sure it wasn't to your brother or sister's room. They'd probably just knock you down and say, "Get over it." It was probably to your parents. You know, they were there to comfort you, to help you, to make you feel safe in those instances. When you were hurt, where did you go? You ran to your parents because that's where you felt safe. But then as time went along, as you got older, you realized, you know, there's a lot that my parents do for me, a lot that they can do to keep me safe. But it only lasts so far. They can only do so much to keep me safe. And so you realized that you needed to have someone or something else to keep you safe. And looking back in Psalm 91, that's what God provides for us. He provides a safety net for us. And the most important thing to Him isn't our physical safety. Sure, He wants that. He doesn't want any harm to come to us. But that may happen. What He wants more than anything is the safety of our souls. You know, we sing the song, "Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest." That's where we find true safety, is in our Lord and focusing on Him. Let's turn over just a couple pages. It may just be one page, maybe the same opening, to Psalm 94. Let's look at verses 16 through 23 here. It says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord, our God, shall cut them off." In verse 19, he said, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." The comforts of God are Him hearing the call of the righteous, Him hearing us, and meeting our needs. And you know, many times when we think of prayer, you know, think back, if you would, those of us who were at our house for the study in prayer that we had. Many times we get the false impression of prayer that it's like a vending machine. We stick in a quarter, and out comes what we want. Well, many times we think that prayer is the same way. We give God our request, and He gives us back exactly what we want. But that's not the way that God works. That's not the way He comforts us. What God does is He gives us what we need. We may not realize that the thing that we're asking Him for is really something that's not good for us, and really something that we don't need. And so God knows what we need. He hears what we're asking for, but he knows what we need. And he's going to give us the things that we need in order to grow as Christians and be found faithful unto him. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you may want to keep a marker in Psalms. Sorry if you started turning already, but we will come back to the book of Psalms in a minute. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 8 through 13, where it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we are faithful to God, then he's going to be faithful to us. He's promised us that if we are faithful to him, he will give us a home in heaven one day. We will receive the promise of heaven because God is faithful. However, if you look back in verse 23 in Psalm chapter 94 that we just read, it says, "He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off." So if we aren't found faithful to him, if we are wicked, and we don't serve the Lord, there will come a judgment, and we will be totally open to that judgment. In fact, when we're with the Lord and he comes back, we have the ultimate form of safety because he will bring us home to heaven, where we will be in his presence at all time, where no evil can be found. That is the ultimate form of safety. However, if we aren't with him, well, then the judgment that we're going to get will be the complete opposite of safety. We will be away from the Lord's presence for eternity in the pain and torture of hell. And so we need to make sure that we're focusing on the Lord. And then if you look in Psalm chapter 49, Psalm chapter 49, we're going to read verses 3 through 15 here. And we'll see that some people, they put their trust in the things of this world, the riches of this world. But ultimately, that's foolish. Because as Steve pointed out this morning, the things of this world are going to be burned up. They aren't going to last forever. In verse 3 of Psalm 49, it says, "I will incline my ear." Oh, I'm sorry. Started too late. Verse 3. "My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Ultimately, if we're trusting in the riches of this world, we're foolish, because the riches of this world are not going to last. They do not provide true safety. We may think that we're safe when we have the things of this world, but ultimately we're not, because we do not have eternal safety. We do not have that hope of heaven. Riches are not going to redeem our soul, because what are the riches of this world to God? They're nothing. He created the world. It's all his. How are we going to pay him back something that's already his to redeem our souls? It doesn't work that way. Let's look at what it says in Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 13. And we'll read verses 23 through 27 there. Mark 13, verse 23 says, "But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those things, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven." When Christ returns, the only way that we're going to be part of his elect is if we're a child of God's and if we're faithful to him. We're not trusting in the things of this world. That's the only way that we're going to have true safety. And let's look now in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, and in verse 6 it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." True safety, eternal safety, is when we are found in the Lord. You know, think about when you're preparing for things. You know, we got hurricane season coming up. Are you going to go out and prepare the day before the hurricane comes? No, because what's going to happen? It's not going to be pretty, is it? You're going to start preparing things now. We need to be doing the same thing with our souls. We need to be preparing our souls for the time when Christ returns. And as you see in verse 7, it says that we need to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. We need to be ready and willing to let God handle everything. We need to cast all our cares upon him. We need to not become overconfident and think that we can do it on our own. Because if we try to go on our own, we ultimately won't be successful. We have to have God by our side. Think back to a time when you were given maybe your first big task. Maybe your first big task at work. Maybe your parents had given you some big thing to do. Did you ask for help? If you didn't, how did it go? Did it go as well as you thought? Or did you have a plan in your head and think, oh man, this is going to turn out great. And then when you're done with it and you didn't get the help that you needed, you're saying, oh, that's not so good. That didn't turn out so good. And then the boss isn't too happy or your parents aren't too happy. But if you would have asked for help at the beginning, they would have been glad to help. And God is the same way. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to seek him. Because he knows that he is our safety net and that we will be successful with him. Let's look in 1 John chapter 4. And let's read verses 4 through 11 there. In verse 4 of 1 John 4 it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is how we are safe eternally. It's because of Christ's sacrifice. Without that sacrifice, we have no safety. But because Christ loved us so much, and God loved us so much, that he came to this earth to suffer through life as a man and die that cruel death on the cross, we have a hope of eternal safety. Eternal safety from Satan. And eternal safety in the presence of God. Now, there may be some here tonight who do not have that safety. You know, maybe you've never given your life to God. Or maybe you had at one time given your life to God and have let the cares of this world snuff out your love for him and your desire to serve him. Unfortunately, you do not have that safety net if you are not found in God. If you have not given your life over to him or have fallen away. And so we pray, we beg you at this time, think about where you stand. Think about where you stand with the Lord. If he were to return tonight, would you be safe or would you be in trouble? If we can help you ensure your safety and ensure your place in heaven, we ask that you please come now as we stand and sing.